You really want to dive in and try to figure out your purpose. Very hard thing to figure out. I like three questions. You know, what would you do if you had all the money in the world? I like that question. What would you do if today was your last day on earth? I like that question. But my favorite question, my third one I would ask yourself, what would you do if you knew you were going to fail anyway? I mean, I failed at Spartan for 15 years. I didn't make money. It was a disaster. But I keep doing it anyway. So clearly, I love to do this. Yeah, that's what I would do. And make sure you're healthy as you can be when you're analyzing that question.
Okay, welcome back, or welcome to the Finding Mastery podcast. I'm Michael Gervais, and by trade and training, I am a sports and performance psychologist. Now, the whole idea behind these conversations is to learn from people who are committed to both their craft and their inner life. Literally, those who are on the path of mastery. And the idea is we want to better understand what they're searching for, how they use their mind, their psychological framework, if you will, to make sense of the world around them, to make sense of how they're pursuing their own life. And then we also want to use these conversations to understand the mental skills that they use to build and refine their craft. And if you want to learn more about how you can train your mind, it's just a quick little reminder to check out our online mindset training course, where literally I just pull back the curtain and show you how I help world-class athletes build essential psychological skills. And the course is built so that you can develop those same very skills to live well in your life. And I mean living well in having a sense of deep well-being, as well as to help you pursue the reaches of your potential. And you can find out more at findingmastery.net/course. Finding Mastery is brought to you by listening. This is exactly what their app does. It helps you listen to books and content that you might not be able to sit down and actually have the time to read. There was a time early in my career where I remember sitting in the back hallways of my university and being in the library for hours, reading all of the sports psychology literature and research that I could get my hands on. I loved it. I cherished it. The field of sports psychology is just absolutely on a bender right now. It is growing so fast. It is nearly impossible to keep up with all of the research that's coming out. So that's why I love what listening is doing. It's a game changer for me. So the listening app, it lets me listen to anything that's in writing while I'm on the go. Everything from academic papers to books, PDFs, web pages, articles, anything that I put in their app, it reads it to me. It narrates to me. And plus their AI is great. The way that the interface sounds, like, of course, it's not a human that's reading, but it kind of, the AI is so good of what they're doing, it just works. And then there's also this note-taking function. They know that people like us like to take notes. And so it's as simple as when I hear a key idea, I instantly press a button and that section is saved. They've done a really nice job with this product and they've got a great offer for us. Usually they only give a 2-week trial, but because you are listening to Finding Mastery, you get a whole month for free. Check that out, a whole month for free. So I want to encourage you to go check it out. listening.com/findingmastery or use the code findingmastery at checkout to get started. Again, it's listening.com/findingmastery or use the code findingmastery at checkout to get 1 month completely free. Finding Mastery is brought to you by Hims. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing simple, convenient, and affordable access to science-informed treatments for erectile dysfunction, known as ED. They also are servicing hair loss, weight loss, and more. Health struggles like ED, they're common, but they can be hard to talk about when it comes to finding a solution. That's why Hims has been a game changer for so many men. The entire process is 100% online. Answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option for you. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free in a discreet package. No waiting rooms, no pharmacy visits, and no insurance is needed. Plus, you can manage your plan directly on the Hims app. You can track progress and learn more about your conditions and how to treat them from leading medical experts. If you or a loved one has been struggling with ED, I really want to encourage you to go check out Hims. I know ED often has a psychological component to it as well, so be sure that you're stacking some psychological best practices into your daily routine. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/findingmastery. That's hims, hims.com/findingmastery for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/findingmastery. Disclaimer, hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Now, this week's conversation is with Joe DeSena, the founder and CEO of Spartan. He is a one of one. There is nobody I know that is like Joe. You know, if you're not familiar with Spartan, I want to encourage you right now, stop, check it out, take a look at it. But I would bet most of you understand exactly what Spartan is. It's the world's leading endurance sports and wellness brand. And what they do is that they take people through radical challenges, physical and mental. Throughout Joe's life, he has competed in any extreme sports adventure that he could find. He wants to organize his life to be tested, to grow, to figure out how to be better. And his racing resume is the stuff of legends. Over 50 ultra events and 14 Ironman events in 1 year alone. And that led to Spartan. And it's a global experiential sports and wellness brand with a 10 million person strong community. And it creates transformational experiences and products and content to help people and companies and teams literally tear down boundaries and expand what they believe to be possible. And I wanted to have this conversation with Joe to better understand what drove him to create Spartan. And then what does he think is the unlock for people to reach their potential? And we discuss purpose and sacrifice and this mythical ridgeline of work-life balance, and then also the habits for living healthier, and so much more that we get into. Now with that, let's jump right into this week's conversation with a true legend, Joe DeSena. Joe, how are you?
I'm good. I'm really good since somebody wants to talk to me. So,
hey, so I love watching what you're doing. I've loved watching what you've created. And then I've been fascinated how you've pivoted this last year. Like, so I just want to say you're a beacon and an emblem for grit and toughness and agility. And so I'm excited to have this conversation with you to kind of get to the source of how you've been able to, you know, blaze a path and create something that is completely disruptive and different and stick with it even when it's hard. So congrats on all of that.
Thank you. Would you please tell my wife and kids that like I'm a big deal and this stuff I'm doing is because in the house, no one seems to get it. They're all like, they just blow me off. But I it's hard, right? Constantly paddling upriver with a message that's, hey guys, you got to get off the couch. You got to do hard stuff. You got to go run in the rain. You got to take a cold shower. And people look at me like it's a joke, and it's not. You have to do these things because we got to practice hard stuff. Oh, and by the way, the science shows that it's really good for the mind and body. Sitting in complacency in a climate-controlled room is not healthy, right? We got to live on the edges. And again, my own family, everybody I know, if I'm walking down the street pre-COVID and somebody was walking with a big gulp soda, I'll take it out of their hand. I don't even know.
No, stop it.
Swear to God. I met, I forget the comedian's name, Tracy something, you know him, a famous comedian. I met him in an airport. He was eating Doritos. Took him. Pre-COVID. You know, people just don't get it. And it's very hard to be in this business because if I was selling cotton candy and it'd be easier, it just would be easier.
Well, you know, you say that, and I want to get into like, you know, I ask this question a bunch, but, and it comes off wrong, but like what gives you the right, I say it to a lot of people, like what's giving you the right to be the first person, you know, to land on Mars, even though it hasn't happened yet, but like, where does that come from? And so let's start with that. Like, where's it come from that you're so on it, you're so connected to what you think is right that you'll grab Doritos out of somebody? Because Doritos are not healthy, period. Okay. But one bag of Doritos, maybe it's no big deal. You know, maybe one bag.
Everybody says that, but and this is a very extreme statement, and I don't necessarily believe this, but like, is it okay to, you know, just do crack a little bit in moderation? No. And so, you know, look, I make mistakes with food too. I make mistakes with working out. I make mistakes all day, every day, but we have to hold each other accountable and help each other, because the way our great society works is we want freedom. And with freedom comes a lot of junk that we can't seem to control, that leads to obesity, that leads to unhealthy minds, that leads to psychologists and suicides. And so, like, this is fixable. And it's just fucking annoying for me, because literally, like, if I had the power, I would, and I'm not even joking when I say it, I would just say, we're getting rid of all hot water heaters in America. We're making everybody wake up 5 a.m. Everybody's in bed 8 p.m. There's no more alcohol or drug. Like, we're just fucking shutting it all down, and we're gonna be productive peak performers. We'll be happier. Like, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Okay, so let's rewind this a little bit. What's driving you? I love how crisp you are. I don't agree with that, like, take out, like, become Spartan as a complete lifestyle, but I am fascinated by the Spartan approach, your approach as well. And I don't agree with, like, removing everything, because then we actually run into the sensitivity of not appreciating. You know, if we took away nighttime, then how would we appreciate suntime? If we took away sadness, how would we appreciate happiness? So I do like the choices that we get to make, because it defines us. And so I like that there's people out there that are waking up like sloths. I think it's okay. It's sad, but it actually gives me a reference point to go, okay, that's not how I want to live. And then my more savage part of my competitiveness is like, oh, good. You know, this makes it just a little bit easier, which I don't like to think like that, you know, because I'm trying, just to orientate with you, Joe, is I'm trying to become my best, not better than others. Right. And so
I look at the collective, though, and I say, we would just, like, I've built businesses since I was a kid, and I just could never get my head around, like, laziness, not being able to show up a few minutes early, not being able to take care. I just couldn't understand why some people can't get their shit together. And so I'm resigned to the fact that we have to do it for people. I sound like a crazy person, I know, but, like, it's not working. Look at the data. Yes, you're getting after it. I'm getting after it. There's like 1% of us that are getting after it. Everybody else is falling into the trap and eating Velveeta cheese, staying up late, addicted to their phone. Like, it's not good for any of us.
Yeah, no, it's a problem for sure. I'll tell you, a world-class coach said to me one day, he says, this was like day one of us working together. And he says, hey, listen, just, I want to remind you something. He says, the athletes downstairs, they don't know shit. I said, so disrespectful, right? He goes, I'm telling you, Mike, they don't know. They don't understand. We have to help them. And he says it in a way like a grandfather type approach. He's like, we have to help them. And listen, there's no excuse. Like, If we need to reach somebody, we don't say, well, I left a note in their locker room and they never came up to see me. Or I told them to see me after, but they didn't. Go wait, go get them, go, you know, go help them. And so that material commitment to actually go the extra step to help people sounds like you're cut from that same cloth. But let me rewind back. Why? Like, why this path for you? You say you don't get it, but I bet there's something about your family that was really true about getting after it.
My mom was pushing this philosophy in the 70s, and I was pushing back. I was in a neighborhood, organized crime capital of the world, and it was very normal to be eating cannolis and raviolis and sausage and peppers and aspiring to be a wise guy. People didn't take care of themselves. We didn't know any better. My mother found a vegan lifestyle. She started teaching yoga. I watched her fast, no food for 30 days. So, like, she was pretty extreme. And this was in the 70s, early 70s. There was no Whole Foods. There was no yoga journal. This was not common. So talk about paddling upstream. I mean, so I watched her over the next 30 years push this lifestyle and transform people. And ultimately, I bought in.
Okay.
And people around me bought in. And so I was like, wow, she's right. She's right. And so that's, and by the way, one other thing, don't forget, I started this thing called Spartan, and I've had 10 million people do this, and I see people at the finish line and I talk to them, and the difference between the person I meet before they take on a lifestyle like this and the person I meet afterwards, of course you'd want everybody to do this.
Mm. What is the Senna emblem about? Like, what is the family crest about?
I think it's that, right? I think it's that Spartan logo. I think, you know, I tell my kids, like, I don't care win or lose. I don't care. I just want to know you worked hard.
Okay.
That's what we do. That's we work hard.
And what are you searching for? Like, what is it that you're trying to create? I know you want to hit 100 million people, right? I think I read that. 100 million people that change their approach to life by experiencing the Spartan ethos. So yeah, if that happens.
Yeah. I want to rip 100 million people off the couch.
Rip 100 million off the couch. And then with a sharp stick in their back or a dull stick?
How about I lure them with a Dorito?
Wait. I was going to say, yeah, Dorito. I thought you were going to go to the carrot. Yeah, okay, good. All right, because as a psychologist, there is a psychology about people who run ultras and do ultras. And what's the stat? How many did you do in 1 year?
Oh, I did a lot. I was in a bad car accident. And I went out the window of a vehicle at 85 miles an hour. My leg was ripped out of my hip. And they told me that I would never run again, barely walk, all that. And so I just kept going to different doctors until I found a doctor that said to me, hey, you have the same injury that Bo Jackson had, the athlete, right? The football player, baseball player, and the femur head came out of his hip. And so if this is gonna work, we don't know if it will, you've gotta get blood flow to the hip. You gotta do stuff, but not like pounding like Bo did. That was the mistake he made. And so I said, oh, you know what I'll do? I'll sign up for a bunch of Ironman events. And so I just went on a rampage, just doing Ironman after Ironman after Ironman. And then once it looked like my hip was good, I was running ultras. And I was just a man on a mission, really selfishly, because I had the scare with the car accident that I wanted to squeeze all the juice out of the lemon, right? Just make sure I got everything I could if I wasn't going to be able to walk again or had to get a hip replacement, whatever it was. Plus the other thing is, for those of you that don't know, it's hard to stay in shape. It's a lot easier if you have races on the calendar. I call it the Spartan paradox. I'm not selling you anything when I say that. It's just like a boxer, you know, a boxer doesn't get in shape until he or she has a date on the calendar and they know they're going to fight. And then all of a sudden they get serious. And so I just kept dates on the calendar every single weekend so that I didn't have to, right? I didn't have to fall out of shape and get back in shape. I just ran around the world doing races.
You know, I did an ultra. It was incredibly successful as an experience, not on a notch in the belt, but an experience of transformation. And when I got done with it, the person who helped me, the coach, Peter Park, says, goes, so let's think about the next one right away. And I was like, what? I'm not built for that. I am type 2 fiber, which is more the kind of the fast twitch. I'm not built properly for the long distance, but I found it incredibly like transformational. And so I don't even know what it's like to do one a weekend. I did one and fully hallucinated while I was out there doing it. And so I did something wrong, but I did many things right that led to a complete transformation. And so when you're out there, what happens for you?
Yeah, I mean, lots of hallucination. I get to a place, and I think everybody should get to this place, where I just want water, food, and shelter. You know, we used to live in that place for most of the time our species has been on the planet. We didn't have access to, like, being able to pull a drive-through and get food. But when you get to a place where you're cold, you're tired, you're hungry, it melts away all the bullshit in your mind that you're dealing with that is irrelevant. And and that's a really refreshing place to be. It sucks. I can't tell you how many times I've been there and I said, maybe I should just take up ping pong, But then you're through it, and you're like, oh my God, that was so nice. That your shoulders drop, you're hurting, but it's just like nothing else matters. That's a nice place to be.
So that's the yin and yang, right? Is that through the suffering, we understand the sense of peace and contentment. Would you say that you are a content, peaceful human, or are you more on the scratchy, attuned to suffering type of human?
I mean, I you tell me the way I answer this. I'll say, I get asked all the time, how was your flight? Because I fly around a lot. And I say, well, the plane landed. I mean, it would suck if the plane didn't land, right? And so that's the way, like, how's your day? I'm alive. So am I content? Absolutely. I have tremendous gratitude that my kids are healthy, my family's, I have a family. I have a wife willing to live with me, right? Like, so I have super gratitude that you're willing to talk to me. So I pinch myself every day that we own this brand Spartan and like, but if I'm not going to scratch to answer the question more succinctly, then who is? Who is? Not a lot of people that are out there trying to get folks off the couch. Most people are trying to get people on the couch.
Okay. I want to talk to you about a new sponsor right here, Hydro. I love what they're doing. They are awesome. I don't know if you're into rowing like I am. I really enjoy it. What I try to do is I try to move around different cardio exercises. Sometimes on a bike, sometimes I'm rowing, sometimes I'm outside. But when I want to row, they've got it dialed in. They've done something fundamentally different than all the other rowers. One, it's not this loud machine that is making a ton of noise and, you know, chains slapping all over the place. They've done this in a really slick, premium, elevated way. And then the other thing they've done is that there's a nice screen that you can have a guide or a coach with you. And their coaches are Olympians and world-class athletes. And what they've done is they're filming, full stop, they are filming all over the world on places where their experts are rowing. And then you get to go with them. And they're coaching you the whole way. I love it. My favorite coach by far is Mac. She's great. And I just want to encourage you to give them a shot. If you love rowing, I think you're going to love this machine. And if you're not into rowing, I don't know if you know this, but rowing, there's been some research around rowing that rowing engages over 80% of your muscles while you're doing it. So it's a really efficient exercise. This spring, join the growing rowing community at Hydro. Head over to hydro.com and use the code MASTERY to save up to $400 off your Hydro. That's hydro.com, Hydrow. .com and use the code MASTERY to save up to $400. Hydro.com, use the code MASTERY. Finding Mastery is brought to you by AG1. It's really important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that's why for almost a decade now, I've been drinking AG1. When I first was connected with them, I thought, oh, this is great. This is great. And then I double-clicked to understand their process and how they went about it. And I just love the rigor that goes into what they're creating and the product that they have. And they've gone through so many iterations to get it just right, 52 of them to be exact. Sometimes quality can be a buzzword, but they are committed. They are fundamentally committed to have a great product for us. They're interested in absorption. They're interested in high quality manufacturing. They rigorously test their product. So I trust what's in AG1. And one of the reasons I have extra confidence in that statement is they are NSF certified for sport. That's one of the most rigorous independent quality and safety certification programs in the supplement industry. They've made it so easy as well. What I do every morning is I take a scoop, put it into a cup of water, shake it up, and it's the first thing that I put in my stomach. And I love it. It just gives me the sense like, okay, I've invested in my health and I haven't even started my day yet. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, I want to encourage you to go check out AG1. So try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/findingmastery. Again, that's drinkag1.com/findingmastery. I hope you go check them out. Okay, so let's ladder it up, 100 million. Why? What does that matter to you? What's the larger purpose that you're sorting out?
I mean, it's selfish. I read in Israel, I read this scripture that said, if I get 100 million people off the couch, I automatically go to the great.
Oh my God.
With 90 million, I would have chose 90. But 100's the number, so that's what I got to do. I'm just getting the job done.
Yeah. Okay. I'm calling BS, but I like the humor in it. So, but how do you balance between entrepreneurship and being so dedicated to changing people's lives? Like, and I'm sure you found the harmony between the two. And so, but how do you do that?
It's tough. You know, my dream, no bullshit. My dream would be that the U.S. military, Department of Defense, just pay us to do this job. This is a public service. I do not like the stress of having to make this work as a business, but I want to do the work. I just want to do the work. I want to convince people. I want to transform people. Give people a chance to have a rite of passage. All the transformation you talked about during, but the business side of it sucks. Because just imagine, like, what goes through my mind every single day. Oh my God, if we were just selling something easy. Right.
Hey, so I want to hit on the CEO versus founder versus visionary, you know, because you're wearing three hats and you're actually the subject matter expert. So there's a relationship that I have with the business part of my work and then the craft. And I too have that same thing, like, oh my God, it'd be so much easier if people wanted to train their mind. And so the CEO part of you. How do you do it? How many employees? Our last conversation that we had, you said some staggering number that was right before COVID hit. You had a staggering number of employees.
Yeah, I mean, we pre-COVID, we had 550 employees, but that we bought our competitor right at the very beginning of COVID. So I don't even know. Maybe it was like 750, but every race we do, 325 events around the world, 45 countries, has 1,000 volunteers that we have to take care of. And right, so that's 325,000 people to feed and give them a shirt and take care of them and make sure they take care of the front line, the customers. It's staggering, and like I said, the business part of it sucks. But there's just, like, if somebody's out there listening right now, I mean this sincerely, and they really have a passion for what I'm talking about, extreme wellness, let's call it. And they also have a knack for running a business. I'll be chairman, take over. I just want to go out and meet people and rip the Doritos out of their hand. To do both, it's fucking hard, but there's just not a lot of people that, that lean this way. If there were, it wouldn't be so hard.
Not that anyone's counting hours in a passion filled life, but what kind of hours do you put in running your business?
It's every day, all day, every day. There's no, whatever hours I'm awake, I'm working. There's no.
So how do you balance that with the relationship with your family?
Well, my wife is a friggin' princess. She's a queen. And I'm not just saying it like every husband would say, but like, think about it. I'm always on, always. Oh, not going to be around tomorrow. I got to disappear for 2 days or like. And I've just integrated it, work-life integration. So I'm on the phone in front of them. They're like, it's just one big gray mess. But thankfully, they look at it as purposeful and she accepts it. And the kids don't know any better. So they accept. They have no choice. But it's messy.
How old are the kids, your kids?
I range 8, 12, 13, 15.
So I've got a 12-year-old, and when COVID hit, he and I did your training. You did some Spartan Up Kids training. You put it online for free, and it was awesome, dude. It was right down the sweet spot. You had a couple Olympians that you were doing some stuff with. I don't know if that's still happening. I think I lost track of it somehow, but it was awesome. Are you still doing that?
We have all those tapes only because we happened to be hunkered down together, and we had a cameraman, and that's why we did it. And there were some days that were big days, hundreds of thousands of people tuned in and did it. But I would love to do it. I need people to actually get their kids off phones to, it's nice, inspiring that you told me you did it with your child. Not everybody does it.
Yeah. So what you're looking for is someone to take off some of the business side of things for you. And you could, there's smart, passionate people that you had, of course, have met, but you haven't given over the baton yet. Is that because you have fear?
There's lots of smart people. Look, my own team, which clearly believes in the brand,
yep.
right? Even they question me as being nuts. You know what I mean? So it has to be a person that really gets this, and is as crazy as it about it as I am. Yeah.
Okay. So let's flip back to family for just a minute, because there's two questions I want to ask. You take up a lot of space, Joe, and I mean that in a favorable way. And sometimes when people take up a lot of space, they can crowd out others. And so then that's the double-edged sword. There's, you know, to use the Spartan metaphor in an odd way, the double-edged sword of taking up space is that sometimes you can cut people down. I think you have a benevolent, optimistic approach for humanity, and you're working tirelessly to help others. I 1000% believe you in the way you say it. When you take up space, though, do you ever notice that you crowd others out and maybe they start to diminish because of the presence that you have in such a bold, aggressive, concrete, in-your-face way?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it last night with my son. You know, my two boys wrestle, and we were at wrestling practice. And my older son he's got to cut a few pounds by this weekend. And I could see that he was getting tired towards the end of practice. So I walked out and I went to give him a piece of orange, and he didn't want it because he was probably a little embarrassed at like what. And later that night, last night, he said to me, "Dad, you know, why do you do that? The other dads don't walk out. Like, why'd you do?" And that's basically what he was saying to me. So I went back to my room. I was getting ready for bed, and I said, "You know what? This is a good moment where I could probably talk to him for the first time, like man to man, you know, as opposed to dad to son." And I said, "Look, let's have a pact where, you know, I won't do that. I won't like baby you or make it like embarrass you that way. But if I ask you, you know, if I'm like, hey, take a slice of orange because I could see something, promise me you'll just do it." And he goes, "Dad, that's not a deal. That doesn't work. Like, that's like saying we're both not going to eat chocolate, but I get to eat whatever I want." And so,
right. Oh my God. Yeah. And this is the 12-year-old?
This is the 15-year-old.
Okay. All right.
So, I'm learning that yes, I do crowd out, and I'm a work in progress on it. I got to fix that.
Well, I don't know. I think that it's an asset that you have. You know, you have presence, that you're big, and so because of that, people are like, "Let's follow," because that is inspiring, and you are switched on. There's no kind of hiding that about you, and I would never suggest that you should diminish yourself so that others can feel bigger. But I'm just wondering if you've run into that. Sounds like you have, that because you take up so much space that other times some people can get crowded out. And I've seen that as a trend in people that are extraordinary.
I got to work on it.
How do you imagine you'd work on it?
Well, I mean, just being aware of it. If I'm when I'm in social situations all day, every day, by the way, I got to work on it with the kids for sure. Being aware of it and doing what I said last night, right? And taking that moment and realizing the impact of those around me, especially those that are growing still, the kids. But with others, believe it or not, I want to back off. I want somebody else to be in the front. I don't want to do podcasts all day, every day, write books. I don't want to do it. But you got to find that person that's willing to do it. We just did a town hall. I had to talk to all the employees globally for a minute with my team. And I really shined a light on our staff that goes to the races. This weekend, I have 7 races going on around the world. People, if they watch the news, would assume no one's even outside. I'm looking at traffic. I've been on airplanes for a year. I've flown all over the world for the last year. And I saw airports go to a place where there was nobody, literally nobody. Airports are packed again. Things are back. And so people wouldn't even know if they're still in the living room on the couch that things are back and we got all these races. But like those teams of ours, they're on the front line, COVID or no COVID, all around the world this weekend. And they're leaning in, and I shined a little light on them and said, "Hey, you gotta hand it to them." And I got a text back from one of my team members and said, "Oh my God, you've grown so much as a leader." And so I just need to do more of that.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up as a point, because I was going to say, can I give you a little gem that maybe you want to practice, but I don't want to assume anything, you know, but can I give you a gem?
Please.
Yeah. See, and you might wave it off like, no, it's stupid, but the research around complimenting is pretty cool. And so gratitude, which you're high on, is like, I am grateful for, but it is a self-filling bucket, if you will. And then a compliment is kind of like the next extension, which is a compliment is like, I am grateful, or I notice this about you, or I see this. And you can go two ways. You can talk about the external. I really like the way you cut your hair. I like those shoes, or something external, more surfacey. Or you can drop down, if you know the person, into the internal. And we don't give enough compliments as humans, right? There's some sort of vulnerability and power thing that gets in play there. And I just love the idea for you, as because you take up so much space, is like seeing others and then dignifying them publicly. Sometimes you got to do it privately because of the vulnerability piece. But
that might
go a long way. Yep.
I'm making a commitment here today that I got to give out. I got to give out 300 compliments a month, just to stick with the theme of 300 because of the movie 300. And that's 10 a day.
10 a day.
10 a day.
And they got to be real, because if they're not real, people sniff through it quickly. Yeah. And then, yeah, what you'll find is that some people, if this is a new behavior for you, some people will be like this. They'll be like, wait a minute, what's he want? what the hell did Joe just do? Like, he's giving me a freaking, like, so then you'll have to be like, no, bullshit, no bullshit. And like that, like, I really, and I see this and I love this and da 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 da, and I just want to call it out. And so, it's definitely worth playing with. And I love that you went to 10 a day, because most people want to level down to 3. Ooh, could I do 3? And you're like, I know that you know that number about 3. And you're like, nah, 10. We're going for it. Yeah, good man. And 10 weeks is way too long to do 3. You know, 3 a day, you know? And so
I'm doing 10 a day every day.
Yeah, how about it? All right, cool. All right, so let me go back to your son really quickly. And this is one of my crises. And as a psychologist who is working with the best in the world across multiple disciplines, is that there's an internal scratch that I have, and a scratchiness, I should say. And I don't wish this internal turmoil, obsessiveness about my craft on anybody. And one of my mentors says to me, Mike, what are you trying to do in your life? You want to be a good dad? You want to go deep with a few? Or you want to go impact across many? What are you doing? Because that's my crisis. When I'm ripping across the planet, I'm not with my son and my wife. And I made a deep pact to them. And so I had to kind of sort out my response to that dilemma. How do you answer that? Impact across many or deep with few?
I go back to that word, integration. I think, work-life integration, I just mix it all together. And the way I reconcile it in my head is I say, look, if I was back on Wall Street and I was working on a trading desk, or I was in organized crime, or I was just mountain climbing for myself, for my own pursuit, that would be really selfish, taking that time away from the family. That would not be the right thing to do. But we as a family own this brand called Spartan that does this thing that changes lives. Let me tell you a story, okay? Last week, a FedEx shows up at the house, and my wife opens it, and she's teary-eyed a little bit. She's like, you got to open it. You got to look at this. And I said, oh, here we go. I'm getting sued by somebody who said the barbed wire is too sharp, or who knows what it is, right? So I open it up, and I'm reading really quickly because I got to get to the point. And it looks like it's a customer that's giving me some money, which I get quite a bit during COVID, that says, we want to make sure you don't go out of business. Here's $10. Here's $100. Here's $200, whatever. And so I quickly scan that. I look at the check. The check is $1 million check. $1 million check. This is last week. And I'm like, what? This has got to be a joke. April 1st, right?
Right.
But I look, and it's my buddy who owns Saks Fifth Avenue. And now I read the note more detailed, and it's like, I really love what you do. It's very purposeful. We had a great week last week. I do not want to insult you by sending you this, but if you guys need it, use it. If you don't, just keep it in your drawer. And so when you say to yourself, I could spend more time with my family. By the way, I leave work every night. Here's a failure of mine. I leave work every night. I'm immediately with the boys going to wrestling practice. My wife has the girls. At some point, my wife and I have to swap, because I don't want at 18 or 20 years old, the girls will say, why did you go to every wrestling practice and you didn't go to soccer practice? Like, we have to figure that out. That's my failure. But when people are that impacted, we're doing good work. And so there's got to be a little sacrifice in the family. And, you know, again, I'm not out drinking at night. I don't play golf. I'm not climbing mountains. I stopped all those crazy races once we started having children. So I don't waste time other than like what we do.
Finding Master is brought to you by Apollo Neuro. By now, you're probably well aware that I am a huge fan of what they're doing. I love what they're building and how they're using science-backed technology to help people flourish. This is just a great technology that isn't measuring something. It's actually providing a state change for you to help you either downregulate, find a deeper sense of calm, maybe fall asleep a little bit easier. And if you want to be a bit more up and animated, they've got a way to help you do that as well. It's awesome. It works by sending silent, soothing vibrations. They call them Apollo vibes, of course. That's fun. And it's like music that you can just feel. Just like music, higher vibrations help improve your energy and focus, while lower vibrations, slower vibrations, help to reduce stress, help you relax. I use it twice a day. I use it after I do something really intense. So after it's a lift, after some fitness, after some sport, or after something I'm doing in the office. And I use it right before I go to bed. The science that they found is fascinating. Across various real world and clinical trials, Apollo wearable users experience up to 40% less stress and feelings of anxiety. That's an average, of course. 19% more time in deep sleep, 11% increase in HRV, heart rate variability, and up to 25% more focus and concentration. Those are radical. And because you're a part of the Finding Mastery community, you're going to get an exclusive, and I mean that word here, 15% off an Apollo wearable. So just head to apolloneuro.com/findingmastery and use the code findingmastery at checkout. This is an exclusive offer only available to Finding Mastery. I love that we get to do this together. So be sure to use our code. Again, APOLLONEURO. apolloneuro.com/findingmastery or use the code findingmastery at checkout for 15% off your purchase. You're only getting that here. I really hope you'll check them out. Finding Mastery is brought to you by AquaTru. We all know how important hydration is to performance and recovery and well-being, but it's not just about how much you drink. The quality of your water plays a big role. And if you're like me and you don't fully trust tap water, and I think for good reason, research by the Environmental Working Group has shown that 3 out of 4 homes in the U.S. have harmful contaminants in tap water. That's why I'm really excited to introduce AquaTru. Their purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. It's incredible. I can literally taste the difference in my water. Plus, the filters are affordable and long-lasting. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That adds up to less than 3 cents per bottle. It feels great to know that all at once, I'm saving money, getting the highest quality water for the Finding Mastery team, and helping make a positive impact on the environment by eliminating single-use plastics all the way around. AquaTru comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and it even makes a great gift. And right now, because you're a Finding Mastery listener, you receive 20% off any AquaTru purifier. So just go to aquatru.com. You spell it AquaTru.com and enter the code Finding Mastery at checkout. Again, that's aquatru.com. Enter the Finding Mastery code at checkout to receive 20% off any purifier that you buy there.
Okay. Great answers. And scale of 1 to 10, let's call it a zest for life scale. What number are you right now in this conversation?
In a zest for life?
I'm making that scale up right now. Zest for life, like being totally switched on.
But I'm saying, just to understand the question, in a zest for life, am I a 1 or a 10?
Yeah, 10 being high on zest for life right now, thin slice right now.
I'm 150.
All right. So I like that you're unreasonable. That's good. Okay. So you're one. Let's just change the norm to a 150. So you're 150 on the zest for life scale. And then when you drop, what's an acceptable number to, that that you're saying, okay, I need to be in this kind of range, and if I'm not, I'm upside down and things are not right for me.
On my zest for life scale, I mean, if I'm doing something that doesn't feel purposeful and I'm not loving it, I'm not doing it.
Okay. So you're skipping over. I kind of thought you would say that. But what I want to get to is when you don't feel right. The great Joe Dicenna. Like, how do you get right?
I didn't feel right the other day. I'm in the middle of launching a new product. And it's messy like anything I launch. It's in the combat space. So I'm specifically with wrestling and jujitsu and so forth. And it's just, you know, 21 years ago when we started this with obstacles and everything, that it could be messy. And then trail racing we got into, and that's messy, but I'm getting older, right? To start from scratch again with a new thing. So I wasn't feeling great, but that only lasted like, I mean, an hour.
Okay. So how do you work through it?
I just completely flip it on its head. And I look at the positives rather than the negatives. You know, I don't dwell on anything negative. I just look at the positives.
How many hours a night, how many hours of sleep a night do you get?
I'm sleeping by no later than 9:30. I'm awake by 5. So whatever, 8 hours, 7 hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, you know, one of my friends who has done many ultras like you, says, Mike is so unhealthy. Like, what we do to our bodies is ridiculously unhealthy. And he goes, ask Joe if it's what he thinks about smoking a pack of cigarette a day versus running ultras, like multiple ultras.
Well, so I would say it's unhealthy the way we did it years ago. Now that I know what I know, I would be overhydrated. I'd run slower. And like people say, your knees don't hurt or whatever. No, because I don't run fast. You know, you should be able to, as a human being, you go 300 miles. It's no problem if you don't run fast. So if you're doing 4 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour max, like you go forever. It's not beating you up. But if you're completely dehydrated, you haven't drank water in a while, you're pissing blood. Yeah, that's unhealthy. So it just depends how you approach it. But I'll tell you what, if you gave me two choices, the couch and Netflix or walking 15 miles a day, I'm taking the 15 miles a day, all day, every day.
All right. So where are your Spartan races in the, let's call it the hierarchy, or not the hierarchy, in the range of intensity? Because there's some, like the early days, like what are they called? The death race.
Death race. 72 hours. Let's start at the bottom. So at the bottom, 3 miles.
Tough butter. Yeah.
Everybody could do 3 miles. And then I have an 8 mile. Everybody could do 8 miles. Then I have a half marathon, 13 miles. Everybody could do that. And then you just work your way up to a full marathon. If you're a person that needs to chase and, you know, really test your mettle, you can go up to 72 hours at death race. And obviously that's a small percentage of people that would ever try that. But the bulk of the people, they just come out for a 3 mile, beat me up fest, basically. Right.
And then what are the habits that you would want people to do to be able to make that difference in their life? Like the daily habits to prepare to do it, whether it's a 3 mile or 72 hour, whatever it might be.
Well, I'll give you the daily habits they should apply to their life, whether they do Spartan or not. They should wake up early. I mean, most people, not everybody, they have to get to work. They have to do something. They have to go to school. So you want to wake up early. You can't change that. And so that just by default, go to bed early because you got to wake up early, right? So nobody could argue with me there. And as soon as you wake up, drink a couple of glasses of water, room temperature water, put a little lemon, apple cider vinegar in it if you want. And then from there, get a sweat on every day. You don't need to go run an ultra marathon, but 30 minutes, you get a good sweat on, do some burpees, do some pull-ups, go for a walk, whatever. Eat a salad. Try to eat a salad with every meal. If you're going to have a bowl of Dunkin' Donuts cereal with sugar and fucking all that shit on it, have a salad with it at least. That's my latest thing. I've dumbed it down. Just have a salad with everything, a big salad. And don't turn your salad into a pizza. Don't cover your salad with ranch dressing and cheese and all this crap. Have a legitimate green salad with every meal. And eat between 9 in the morning and, you know, 5, 6 p.m. because we're not designed to eat nonstop. Yeah, that's it. If you did that, I'd be thrilled.
And then 10 compliments. You just got to add the 10 compliments.
10 compliments along. Yeah, that's easy.
And then do you have any practices around meditation or mindfulness or optimism training or, you know, do you do any of that inner work for yourself?
I meditate right before bed every night. Depending on how tired I am, will be determined how long that meditation lasts. It usually lasts at most about 2 minutes. I close my eyes. I completely drain my brain. I focus and boom, I'm out. For the life of me, my mother taught meditation again in the 1970s. And for the life of me, I can't understand meditating during the day. I want to be on the go. I want my brain being creative and everything. For me personally, it works at night. Optimism training, I don't need any optimism training. I need pessimism training. I need a little pessimism in my life. I'm the most optimistic person you'll ever meet. I need compliment training. You gave it to me right at the right. Look, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. You reached out to me clearly. I need to give more compliments. So boom, you arrived.
There you go. Yeah, good. All right, there you go. And then, so one of the processes that are the outputs of meditation and mindfulness is that it's awareness training through deep focus and refocus, really. But the next pillar is about wisdom. And so if you were to be so bold to say that you've generated and revealed some wisdoms to be true to you, maybe not universal, but that's really what wisdom is about. It's universal, it's available, and it stands up over time. You know, but all that being said, is do you have some wisdoms that you would say, okay, this is what seems right for me in my life?
I wouldn't just say right for me. I mean, it's all the stuff I just said. I would say it's right for everybody, kind of like brushing your teeth or going to the bathroom. If you just follow those simple steps we just described, I'd say it might not sound like wisdom. It's very basic, by the way. You think you should drink water in the morning when you wake up and flush out those toxins. You think you should sweat every day. It is the largest gland organ in the body, right? You think you should go to bed early. I mean, yeah, those are my wisdoms.
Okay. Why do people... There's nothing wrong with quitting. Let me just put an asterisk next to that because sometimes it's the smartest thing to do is to quit the job that you have. Sometimes quit smoking. That sounds like a smart thing to do. But it has a bad rap when we think about getting on some sort of intense circuit, like doing an ultra or a marathon or training in general. And, you know, but if we just put a negative connotation on it for just a moment, why do people quit when they've kind of chipped in at some level?
The number one for me, my belief is the number one motivator for human being is the avoidance of discomfort. And we do that to stay alive, for a million years on the planet. Freezing to death in the cold, that'll be uncomfortable. Your brain subconsciously is telling you don't do that. Anything uncomfortable, your brain is avoiding that discomfort. So I've done this for millions and millions of people. I've had personal interactions with at least 50,000 people where they want to quit. They're in the middle of a 3-mile race, an 8-mile race, a 72-hour race, or whatever. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. I've had these conversations with myself. You've had the conversation with you. And what happens is your brain spits out a bunch of logical reasons. For example, early in the morning, you know you got to do your workout. Your brain says, oh, you got to get coffee. You got to read the news. You got to do. No, I don't. I don't have to do any of that. I got to do my workout. But my brain is avoiding the discomfort of the workout. So brain spits out all these logical reasons. And more often than not, we quit. And then we regret it. And then a lot of people can't get going again. And but I agree with you. There are times, and I've wrestled with this for 30 years, what when is it okay to quit? And so the way I've come up with like the litmus test on when that was a legitimate quit or not is it depends on your purpose in life. It depends on your true north. So for example, if my true north is to be the greatest family man ever, the greatest dad ever, and I'm climbing mountains, and we are 100 feet from summiting Everest, and a snowstorm rolled in, I'm outside the time window of safety, but I have a choice. I can go down, I can go up, and I want to be the greatest family man ever. Fuck, I go down, I quit. However, if I want to be the greatest mountain climber that ever lived, and I'm about to set the world record before this other guy I'm competing with is about to climb K2, and I'm single, and that's my purpose, no way. I'm not turning around, I'm going for it. So you got to have some sort of some reconciliation, some sort of test that when you're really under stress and the shit's hitting the fan and subconsciously your body's saying quit, you're able to look at it and say, wait a minute, does this action I'm taking right now align with my values, my beliefs, et cetera? Because most times it's just your brain saying, this is too hard.
And where'd you come up with that? Because it's actually sit squarely with the science of purpose, and there's three components that sit underneath of it. So where did you come up with that? Yeah, look at you.
I've come up with that myself. No bullshit. I've wrestled with this thing forever. When is it okay to quit? When is it not? And I just thought, I mean, I created that little scenario. Oh, well, it's obvious that if it doesn't line up with my purpose, my values, then I should quit.
All right. So then let's play this game. Is that most people struggle with purpose. It is almost too big to bite off. What is my life purpose? It's one of the big questions in life. And Harvard did a 75-year study where they measured fulfillment, or they studied fulfillment. And those that reported to be more fulfilled are the ones that wrestled with the big problems, the big challenges, you know, the dilemmas of life, if you will. So how would you help people start to get clear on their purpose? And maybe you say, come to a Spartan race, train for Spartan, because it's like a step on the path. But I'm sure that life purpose is not to do Spartans, you know, but it's part of the ecosystem that you're creating is about many purposes. You know, set your calendar to your point earlier is a mini purpose that you're working toward. So I'm trying to take some of the insights and gems you have and extrapolate to something larger, but how would you help people
develop purpose? Well, I think if you and I were automobiles rather than human beings, if you were a Ferrari and I was a Lamborghini, whatever, and we were going to go on the racetrack and kind of just see what the vehicles had under the hood, we would probably wash the vehicles, we'd tune them up, we'd go through and check the brakes and everything, so that we could really test the vehicles and see what they're all about. And so as you ask the question, I'm thinking, well, if you really want to dive in and try to figure out your purpose, very hard thing to figure out, I would think you'd want to clean yourself up. I think you'd want to make sure the oil's in the engine and get all those things done, right? So you probably want to spend some time following that program, drinking water when you wake up, eating healthy, eating more salad, because if you're putting a bunch of garbage in, you probably don't have clarity in your mind. So let's assume you did all that. Now the car is washed and ready to go on the track. I like three questions. You know, what would you do if you had all the money in the world? I like that question. What would you do if today was your last day on earth? I like that question. But my favorite question, my third one I would ask yourself, what would you do if you knew you were going to fail anyway? I mean, I failed at Spartan for 15 years. I didn't make money. It was a disaster. But I keep doing it anyway. So clearly, I love to do this. Right? And so, I mean, yeah, that's what I would do. Mm. And make sure you're healthy as you can be when you're analyzing that question.
So lack of purpose, avoidance of the uncomfortable, these are two constrictors. These are two ways that get, if left to be to their own devices, will get in the way of people living a meaningful life. Do you have any others that you say, yeah, you got to pay attention to this? And there's one that I definitely want to bring up with you, which is the management of ego, the management of what other people think of you. But before we go to that one, do you have any others that you say?
I would say, I mean, I'm winging it here. You and I didn't prepare, but I would say community. I mean, if I was around a bunch of shitty people all day, that would suck.
Yeah.
So any energy drainers and stuff, like I want to be around, life's too short. I want to be around great, hardworking, industrious, you know, people that are creative and definitely don't have egos. And I'm, you know, when I was younger, I had an ego, more of an ego. We all have egos, but I've been able to mute it a bit and you know, take criticism.
And who tells you when you're wrong or you're off? Because I imagine with your passion and your zest for life and the clarity that you come with and the emphatic confidence that you have, that some people might not want to step up because you're the boss. But who tells you when you're wrong?
My wife, my son told me last night. Yeah. I got a bunch of advisors that fight with me all day, every day. But you know, you need it. You need to be in check. You need to be put in check.
You do that. Yeah. Okay. What do you think about the fear that people have of other people's opinions?
That's just ego, mm-hmm. right?
Like, it is.
Just have an open mind and you know, it's kind of like Google Earth, right? There's 50,000 feet you think you see, and then you could zoom in, and people around us just have a different viewpoint on ourselves. And that's what I was trying to say to my son also. Like, you didn't realize that you needed a slice of orange last night in the middle of that practice, right? Like, I can't, he's 15 years old. He doesn't have a prefrontal cortex or whatever. And I just couldn't get through to him. So fuck it. Now he's not getting any more oranges.
I'm not sure that's exact. Oh my God. All right. I don't think I'm satisfied with the answer about like fear of people's opinions, you know? So like, I don't think you have much space left for managing what others think of you. But did you ever wrestle with that at any point in your life?
Oh my God. My first business, I cleaned swimming pools for a lot of mob bosses and a lot of people in the neighborhood that were extremely detail oriented, maniacal nutcases. They took care of their houses like, the Karate Kid's mentor would, Mr. Miyagi. And it was just so important. Here I was young and building a business and I didn't know what I was doing, that everybody loved me, that everybody like wanted me back. Just pure, you know, business, the business side of it, that made sense. But it also hurt me because you know, I guess it hurt me personally, but it also could potentially hurt the business. And they would talk to other people if they didn't like me and what we were doing. So, yeah, I mean, I used to turn my stomach if I upset somebody. So I can't say I'm perfect at making everybody happy, but I do give it a good college try.
Mm. And when you think back to times that, and you don't have to give details, but when you think back to times that have been the most painful for you, I'd venture to say it's probably not the physical pain that you and I can relate to, the suffering of during a race or an event. But what are the big, maybe, but what are the big pains? And again, you can give story and details if you're comfortable, but you don't have to be.
I could have did more for my mom before she died. I could have did more for my father. I could have went to see my father more. And, you know, in the last 5-10 years of his life, I was so wrapped up in being on Wall Street and making money and getting ahead. I missed a lot of weddings. I missed a lot of funerals. Because I'm so wrapped up in what I do. So, you know, I got regrets. I got regrets there.
And how do you wrestle with those? This is the dark side that people don't want to talk about. And I ask from a personal standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is a bad answer, but like, it's the past. It's over. It's over. It's already... 5 seconds ago is not coming back. So I'm pushing forward. That's what I got to work on. What's ahead of me, not behind me.
Do you think you'll make the same mistakes?
I still trip and make those mistakes. I do.
Yeah. I think you got to sit with the suffering a bit, you know, cause I get the Teflon, you know, I get that piece, like it's gone, but this was the breakthrough that I had in my ultra. It was a ocean ultra. Is that, I got to the core of some suffering. And I was like, my mentor says to me, Mike, what is wrong with you that you need to go do that to get to the truth of something? And so I think until we get to the truth of it and really investigate that suffering, that it doesn't materially change. And even so, I can find myself, you know, finding old patterns that were still there, the problematic patterns before the revelation than I'd like, you know. But yeah, I think sitting with suffering is flicking hard, you know, especially emotional suffering.
That's probably, you know, that's probably why I do these crazy things, because I get, you know, I love to, I actually like the suffering. I love to dwell on it a bit, and then it kind of purges it out. I love this saying, there's nothing you can't walk off. Right? Cool. Now, that's not good for your business, because a psychologist, you know, you want to talk it through, but, you know, maybe it's a combination of let's talk it through, and then you got to go keep walking until it's gone.
Yeah, no, I'm like, movement is a big deal now for mental health. Like, yeah. You know, like for sure. So I like it. I'm not sure you totally get to deep insight, wisdom by just walking. Like, you've got to do some sort of contemplative awareness building with yourself, like a conversation with yourself, if you can get to the truth. Sometimes the reason I think one, relationships matter, but when we have another wise person across from us and we say something and they just give you that look, like, are you trying to fool yourself or me? You know, and it's like, so there's some sort of mirror holding that people of wisdom can do that I find to be incredibly valuable. But on that note, if you could sit with a master, a true master, dead or alive, who would it be? Where would you be? And then if you only had one question.
I'd be with Bruce Lee. I'd be, even though what I'm about to say doesn't make sense because he didn't, but I'd be with the Shaolin monks. I'd be with Bruce Lee. And my question would be, I'm making this up. You and I didn't, like, my question would be, show me the way.
Yeah, the way. Have you read Tao Te Ching by any chance? Taoist Bible. Have you spent any time with that?
Tao Te Ching, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I read it. I love it. And I need to read it 500 more times.
It's so deep, dude. It's like, it's one of the practices I would do with coaches. So when I'm with a team, that we'll take the Tao Te Ching once a week, we'll read a passage, and then we'll huddle up and talk about it, four or five of us, you know, around a meal. It's so good. It is so hard, though.
Like, you know, what is 5,000 years old? Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And I saw the translation of many of the passages, and one of them was avoid lawsuits at all costs.
Do you get sued often?
And well, I have. It's funny because I was in the middle of this really annoying suit, and my ego, you know, your ego gets involved. We're going to win. We're talking to the lawyers. And we were everything, like, we should have been the ones. Like, it was just, and I read that and I go, oh my God, he's so right. The writing is so correct. They're like, there's no upside in any kind of legal battle with anybody. We should just sit down and work it out.
Yeah.
Totally. Even when you're right, even when you're mad, even when they did something to you, it's irrelevant.
Mm. All right. I want to say thank you. I love what you're doing. In some parallel path here, I think that there's a synergy that we might want to explore somehow, you know, whether it's mindset training, course training, something on that path that your community, if there's any interest. But I love pushing people to your community. And so I think that what you've done is disruptive, it's real, it's incredible. And so I just want to say thank you for creating the space for people to challenge themselves at a really deep level. And I don't think that there's three starts to every race. There's when the horn goes off. That's the obvious one. But it's the one before that that you determine the start. Like, for some people, it's when they pack their bag. It's some people, it's when they leave their hotel room. For some people, it's when they arrive and put their shoes on. You know, they put their mouthpiece in, whatever. There's a first start. The second start is when the horn rings. And there's a third start, which is when you're in deep water and you've forgotten how to swim. And so that third start and the first start are materially important for me. And so you provide a space for people to understand the three starts. And that being said, is when's the last time you saw mastery?
I just saw it this weekend. I just was at the Olympic trials. And I saw one of our athletes who has not made it into three Olympic cycles because there was one American athlete blocking him. And this was really his last shot. And he just did everything right. Mindset, body, sleep. I mean, just imagine missing the Olympics and putting four more years in. Another four more years. And then things are finally organized, and then COVID hits. Push it out another year. And this guy just hunkered down and stuck with it. And I watched this is a master. This guy, yeah, it was awesome. I'm getting chills. It was awesome to see.
Who is it?
A guy named Kyle Dake, D-A-K-E. And for those of you that want a little taste for what happened at the Olympic trials down in Fort Worth, Texas, Google Kyle Dake versus Nolf. I don't know his first name, but his competitor was N-O-L-F. And this was the match that Kyle had to win in order to fight the guy that's been blocking him for three Olympic cycles. And so first he had to win this one. And this wrestler, Nolf, is a phenom in his own right. So what if he loses to Nolf? He doesn't even get to go up against the next guy, Jordan Burroughs. And he goes out and in 42 seconds shows the world what mastery is. 42 seconds. It was like Mike Tyson in the old days. And then he goes up against Jordan Burroughs, America's greatest, the hero. There's no chance he's going to beat Jordan. And it was like, there's a new sheriff in town. It was awesome to see. And not so much about the physicality, but just like I happen to know all the work, all the preparation, the mindset, the like, awesome to see.
I love that. When you feel that animation that you just felt, where do you feel it?
Everywhere, my neck, my hair standing up, everywhere.
How many of those do you get a day?
A lot.
Yeah, me too. That's how I measure daily success.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, those thin slices of the animation of awe. Okay. In a word, what do you understand most, Joe?
What do I understand most?
In a word?
People.
I love that answer. That's flipping a complicated, you know, that's a complicated set of standards to understand. That is beautiful. All right. Joe, where can people find you? Where do you want to drive some attention? That
shoot me an email, joeatspartan.com. Please make it short. I don't know if there's any psychological insights here, but I don't like long emails. You could follow me on Real Joe Descent on Instagram, and you could check out spartan.com.
You're a bold man sending your email, but I love watching you on Instagram, and I just want to encourage people to, you know, put something on their calendar, a Spartan race. Put it on the calendar to organize your life. I don't think the hard thing is figuring out, you know, that third start that we talked about. I don't think that's as hard as it is to make a fundamental commitment to organize your life towards purpose. I think that that's the big deal. And so sticking with it, when you got purpose, you'll do whatever it takes when the purpose is real.
You're awesome.
I appreciate you, brother. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much for diving into another episode of Finding Mastery with us. Our team loves creating this podcast and sharing these conversations with you. We really appreciate you being part of this community. And if you're enjoying the show, the easiest no-cost way to support is to hit the subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening. Also, if you haven't already, please consider dropping us a review on Apple or Spotify. We are incredibly grateful for the support and feedback. If you're looking for even more insights, we have a newsletter we send out every Wednesday. Punch over to findingmastery.com/newsletter to sign up. This show wouldn't be possible without our sponsors, and we take our recommendations seriously. And the team is very thoughtful about making sure we love and endorse every product you hear on the show.
If you want to check out any of our sponsor offers you heard about in this episode, you can find those deals at findingmastery.com/sponsors. And remember, no one does it alone. The door here at Finding Mastery is always open to those looking to explore the edges and the reaches of their potential so that they can help others do the same. So join our community, share your favorite episode with a friend, and let us know how we can continue to show up for you. Lastly, as a quick reminder, information in this podcast and from any material on the Finding Mastery website and social channels is for information purposes only. If you're looking for meaningful support, which we all need, one of the best things you can do is to talk to a licensed professional. So seek assistance from your healthcare providers. Again, a sincere thank you for listening. Until next episode, be well, think well, and keep exploring.